Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Knicks Wall podcast. We are part of the Blue Wire podcast network, as always, brought to you this week by our sponsor, betonline.ag. Make sure you check them out. We'll have more on them later in the show. Joining me on the show this week, I've got our own Kyle Maggio.
What's going on, everybody?
And you can follow him at Kyle Maggio on Twitter. Also joining us, as he's been doing lately and will continue to do so, Mike Cortez.
What is going on?
And that is Cortez Era on Twitter. I'm at Corbo Anthony on Twitter. You can follow the Knicks Wall at the Knicks Wall, at TKW Podcast, all those good places. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us that 5-star review. Do the YouTube thing. All of that good stuff. So we're recording right now. The Knicks are in the middle of playing the Wizards. We are going to kind of recap a little bit of this last week. We haven't really, there's been a lot that's happened since we had last had the opportunity to speak. And I guess we'll just go down the list here. And it seems like the biggest news here, a little bit more about the situation, came out today too, but Leon Rose is apparently going to be the new president of the New York Knicks. So announced a couple of hours before the trade deadline, or starting to be rumored and circulated around that time. We haven't received anything yet because he is an active agent, and you know, as a really he's the agent for many popular players and really quality players in the league right now. But also today we learned that his counterpart, the other guy here, World Wide West, might not be as involved. But let's start with these two names right here. Kyle, Leon Rose as the Knicks president, replacing Steve Mills. What was your initial reaction to that?
I mean, I was cool with it. Just from like a connections perspective. I'm of the mind that you got to be connected for job, you know, positions like this. Like, it's nice to be the smart, basketball mind. And I think that's great, but we've hired those before and it doesn't work here. So for whatever reason, so I think hiring a guy with a little bit more pull to try to get some of these stars. I know everybody tries to make it out to be like, oh, well, here the Knicks go star hunting again. And I mean, maybe it's true, but the goal is to get stars on your team. Like every team should be chasing stars. Like that's how the NBA works. So if you give yourself the best chance, or what you think is the best chance, with a guy who's pretty well connected, I mean, I'm at the point with this franchise and this team where I really don't even hate it. I'm kind of indifferent to it. It's just another name, hopefully a well-connected one, and hopefully it actually means something. So sounds good. It always sounds good. I'm down for it. I'm always down to see whatever the plan is, but you know, just at this point, like, they could have made this almost anybody and I would have been like, okay,
yeah.
What's the plan, man? Are we going to start winning some games? What are you doing to change things?
Well, he's obviously representing guys like Chris Paul. He's got Joel Embiid, Karl Anthony Towns, Devin Booker. You know, he's got a mix of high quality veterans and, you know, really full of potential young players who are currently represented by him. Now, he has to drop all of those players before he can sign on, which is likely why this has taken so long to come to fruition here. But I mean, we're talking about, and I'm not as familiar with the other, you know, the World Wide West that everyone's been talking about, and apparently he kind of was in some of the circles about a decade ago, a little bit more so. But I mean, you're still talking about two guys who are really, you know, well-connected, really have, I feel like, the reputation of having the players back. And I think that might be the move that the Knicks really wanted to go for, instead of the same old, you know, we're going to bring in someone with a lot of prestige who's going to grow these young players. They just want someone who's in there, or a team that's in there, that's really going to be show these players that, you know, they're going to take care of them so that we can attract more people to sign here, because that's just not happening right now.
Yeah, I think you hit on a big point at the end where keep telling the truth to players. That's something that hasn't been a constant for the Knicks for a very long time. And that was a big issue with Phil. Like, he didn't really have a fluid relationship with Carmelo and then eventually Kristaps, and neither did Steve Mills. So from that front, I do like Rose. I'm not a fan of us following the Lakers blueprint completely, because I still don't think the Lakers did anything that crazy. I still think they got lucky by LeBron wanting to go there. But like Kyle said, it's good to have somebody that has a good reputation. World Wide West was actually the person I was most excited for. Just a little background. He was one of, like, he's one of those, I guess, I don't know if you call them spiders, I guess, like Game of Thrones, where he knows everybody. So just to have somebody like that that's so connected, and someone that apparently players, current and former, really respect, that goes a big way. And I know he's not joining in an official capacity, but now there's stories coming out that he might be able to still be very close to the team without having to deal with the league rules, which is huge. We saw what happened with Magic Johnson when he took the Lakers job. He couldn't act like Magic, like he couldn't talk to other players. And Jay-Z ran into the same issue when he was involved with the Nets. So as long as West is still involved, I love this move. If he's truly not involved, I'm really with the wait and see. I want to see who Rose puts around him. I still would prefer to move on from Perry, and just, I think we need to get a really strong scouting department. So if Rose can put the right guys around him, I'm game.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the main thing is there's got to be a plan, right? Because this is the one thing that's troubling me, is that we're supposed to be in the long rebuild, and then we're bringing in people who, I wouldn't say don't share that mindset, but obviously their strengths lie elsewhere in terms of team building. And I guess what gets me is, like, I'd like for this guy to be in as soon as possible, because I want them to start, I wouldn't say cleaning house, but you got to start getting your ducks in a row. Because I would imagine whoever comes in here isn't just going to keep everything the same, right? Like, it's not going to be like the last 2 years where it's like, all right, well, here's all of our draft picks kind of playing sometimes. That's maybe the plan. Like, that's not going to fly for a third and a fourth year in a row. So, like, what are you doing immediately to get in and kind of make some decisions on those guys? Because, and to me, it's like, I wouldn't say the Expendables, you know, all the way, but, like, you know, the Franks, the Knoxes, the Dennis Smith Juniors, the Dotsons, who have a year left with their options next year, and they're going to be on the way out. Like, you got to start making decisions on guys like this. You know what I mean? I mean, Knox is a year younger than Frank and Dotson, but you get my point. So it's like, what is it? Because it's not going to be this long rebuild. You're not going to commit. So I just would be interested to see what the next plan is, because are you going to try to rebuild a different way with draft picks? Or, I mean, we have more than enough to do so, but are you going to try to swing some of those for picks? Was this little brief rebuild to get some of these assets like a sort of a quick turn to hand the keys to somebody else with 8, you know, draft picks in 5 years and say, good luck, go make a trade. We gave you the assets for once. Like, I just don't know what the plan is. Like, it seems like they're in position to trade for a star and shift a different direction. Or, you know, if they really wanted to cash in on some assets, and then they could also just hearken down and I guess stay whatever this course is. But I don't know. I feel like we're kind of at an impasse here. Like, yeah, like a crossroads. Like, it just doesn't feel like the rebuild can continue on with Perry possibly on the outs and Rose and World Wide West maybe coming in. So I just don't really know, like what's, like, where we're going, if that makes sense. I'm just, that's the only thing that gives me a little bit of unease. Like, at least with the rebuild, it's been bad.
Right.
It's been
right.
A bad rebuild. Let's be honest, right? But at least there was a plan. Like, well, now,
it's been half-assed. Like, the plan was right, but they half-assed it as usual.
Yeah, what do you guys think happens? Like, I mean, do you think let's say Rose takes over. Like, do you think that he would continue the rebuild? Or do you think it'd be an extreme thing or like a 1 year he kind of takes stock?
I think at least a few players will be on the outs. Like, I think that there's going to be very much a moment of them trying to decide which players really fit with the timeline and fit with the fit with whatever plan they're going for at that point. But like, I could totally see them trying to move on for some of the young assets, just to kind of like recoup a little bit more. And I do think they're going to be going for more of a, you know, maybe not win now, but at least compete now kind of mentality, where they're going to be trying to bring at least somewhat proven players into the mix. And
like Elfrid Payton?
I think we're talking higher than that. I think they're going to be willing to pay a little bit more. I think they'll be willing to let go of some of the flexibility a little bit more.
Well, don't let fans tell. Don't tell the fans we're going to pay any money.
Buddy Hield's name was coming up a lot today, and I think that might be a move. I don't know if that's.
And people didn't.
Well,
want him.
I don't.
$90 million, Anthony. Nobody wants him. He makes too much money. If you make a dime over like $17 to $18 million a year, we do not want you. You make way too much money.
It's the Jim Hardaway
franchise that's valued more than any other franchise. Like if you make any kind of money, we don't want you here. You got to work for free. You got to work as hard as you can. I also preferably don't be good at your job. Just come here, work for a little bit of money. We'll be angry that you're not good at your job while you don't make a lot of money, and then the cycle will continue.
Yeah, I mean. We have to stay flexible for the future, right? We're just chasing that white whale.
Well, I want to stay on the topic of not quite doing your job right, of us yelling at somebody for not doing their job well. And this segment here, we're going to have this one brought to you by our friends over on betonline.ag. This is our betonline.ag bet on yourself segment of the week. Remember, betonline.ag is your online sportsbook expert. Use the promo code BLUEWIRE, all one word, for 50% welcome bonus. Steve Stout, the Knicks' new consultant, certainly bet on himself when he went on First Take on Tuesday and basically proclaimed that the Knicks were going to be firing their head coach and that he is Masai Ujiri. Your reactions when this information started leaking out, because I'm sure all of us were glued to the TV watching First Take that day.
Just embarrassing. The fact that he called himself Drake is pretty funny. And I would have believed in Stout. Like, he's a successful guy.
Oh, yeah. He called himself Drake too.
Yeah. He called himself. He said the Raptors brought in Drake. I was like, that's very, I mean, I appreciate the irrational confidence, but my guy, come on. Anyway, I would be more happy with him being involved if he didn't go immediately to, I'm going to bring back New York to the toughness. It's like, we just heard that shit 12 months ago and look what happened. That doesn't work anymore. Let's join the modern times. It was just very Knicks-y.
Yeah.
It was exactly what I would have expected.
And like the most like Knicks-iest move of that whole thing is that like the guy was brought in as like a marketing and branding consultant, and like, you know, the obvious press release that needed to follow after that stated so much that he's part of the marketing team. Like, this dude is not.
Is that serious? Yeah. Was that tweet serious by the Knicks PR? Like,
I don't.
That made it even worse.
Well, I'm just like, I don't doubt that he is just part of, like, you know, he might be, you know, having a little bit of an ear in some conversations, but I think it's more going to be in the way that certain players can help the Knicks market themselves as a more enjoyable franchise. But like, I just think that the ESPN producers got a hold of him and was like, hey, Knicks is everywhere right now. And like, everywhere is just trying to find the next opportunity to laugh at the Knicks right now. We're in hot water because there's nothing else going on in the NBA before All-Star break right now. And it's just, you know, they're going to, they're going to try to, you know, follow this angle. And I think that Steve Stout just got a little ahead of himself and like hopped on the TV show, hopped on with Stephen A. Smith, and just like ended up making an ass of himself.
So I have multiple questions regarding the Steve Stout incident, because I didn't really even have any issues with what he was actually saying. The only thing that I didn't like was the Drake. They brought Drake in to bring that thing home, referring to the title.
Come on, man.
And I was like, look, man, like I'm with you being like the hype man and trying to make like the Knicks cool. Like, but I understand your job, right? And listen, but like, I understand your job. Like, you have a job to do, right? Like, your job is to go out and be the marketing rebranding guy and go out there and do the PR tour to try to make us seem like we're back on the right track. Like, we've seen the playbook is my point. Like, we know what he's doing. So the disconnect here comes from, okay, well, if you got the nod to do that on First Take on ESPN, he probably had asked the Knicks if it was cool, right? And not like in a, oh, he works for the Knicks now, he's not his own man. Like, well, no,
normally you just
have to get clearance. It's just what happens. Just, it's more like an acknowledgement, like, hey, I'm going to go do this. Is that cool? Normally they say yes. Generally, they tell you what you're coming on to talk about. So I don't know if he was caught off guard by the questions. It seems like maybe he was. But generally, like, the Knicks should have had some kind of knowledge. You know, there should have been some communication about it. So then I didn't really get the forced apology later on. We'll get to that. But so that confused me. But I didn't even think really what he was saying was wrong. It was just like, you can't put, like, the cart ahead of the horse. Like, they haven't even officially announced the guy, right? Because did we? Because I didn't get a press release for it.
Stout? No, it's just reported.
It was just reported, right? So he was, like, loosely associated, which, again, that's fine. But then the optics look bad because before you can put the official thing out that he's hired, you put an official statement out that he's sorry for something. And the worst part of all of this is... Oh, like,
who is he?
Hold on. No. Okay, let's relax. I don't want to disrespect Steve Stout. He's a legend in his own right, in his own lane.
Let's cut it there.
My point is, the issue is when you go in and talk about stuff like the head coaching situation, right? Which, to me, it's a given. Like, if everyone and their mother knows the Knicks are about to clean house and about to do our brand new hires, top to bottom, as we once again expect, there's going to be a new coach. Like, that's just always what happens. You let the GM pick his coach. Like, that's like how sports work. That's just how it is. So it's like, you don't really need to even go out there and say, well, basically, like, Mike Miller's on the way out, we got somebody else. Like, it's implied. It's implied because you're there for that reason, because the house is getting cleaned out. World Wide West is there for that reason. Leon Rose is coming in for that reason. Those guys are coming in to hire everybody else down the chain. So, like, you don't got to go out there and pretend like you call the shot. That's the one thing I didn't like. Like, just sometimes you got to just plead ignorance and just, I don't know, man, we'll see what happens and shut your mouth and keep it moving. But that was the one thing I really had an issue with. Like, him going out there to be the hype man's the right idea. The execution was terrible. And then to make matters worse was that just totally unprompted press
release. That Steve Stout used to manage Nas and Mary J. Blige?
Yeah.
He's
a successful guy in music.
Yeah. He's a big time deal. Like, he's a really important person. Don't talk about firing Mike Miller like before you've officially been hired.
I just want to know why he's in that position in the first place.
Yeah,
he's in the position. It's a simple. They want him to have say in the marketing and the rebrand. And,
well, like, you know, again, you're like, walking into a tire fire at that point. You know that, like, all ESPN is going to try to do is shit on the Knicks at this point. Like,
right. But again, this is why I said they put the cart ahead of the horse, because the thing with the Drake thing is he's not even wrong, right? Like, Drake does matter to the marketing and the rebrand and the evolution of the Raptors. It is objectively true. It's also not major. It's the cherry on top. Like, that's
it's
the
fan
distinction
engagement.
Here.
Yeah,
like, when I think of
it's customer engagement.
Like, you Stout. Like, I don't think
but what he can help you, like, build, basically. Like, Drake, to me, like, and I'm not even trying to be a hater. Like, I actually really like Drake and his music. I just thought, like, initially when he was hopping out with the Raptors, it was kind of corny. Like, it felt pretty forced.
Yeah.
But he's done a good job. He's done a lot of good giveaways, cool a lot now. Of good events.
If this was the 90s, right. I would be okay. But Steve Stout, he hasn't been relevant. Like, the last time I remember Steve Stout, he was getting pressed by 50 Cent on the garden floor. Like, that's the last thing I remember for Steve Stout, which is fine. Like, he's a great marketer, no doubt. I mean, he makes a lot of money, so he must be good. My thing is, don't go on TV. Why even have him on TV talking about basketball? You don't know anything about basketball. Just stick to pushing out, fixing that god-awful social media account that they run.
Both
fix
of them.
That. Yeah. Just fix that. Stick to what you know. That's my thing.
And the last thing I'm going to say too is, like, about the Drake thing is, like, it's the, like, it is the cherry on top, right? But, like, he didn't bring it home. Like, Messiah traded for Kyle Lowry when Kyle Lowry wasn't very good yet. And then they already had DeMar DeRozan there, and that helped usher in a decent era of Toronto basketball, which turned into a winning era of Toronto basketball, which eventually helped them get to the point where they could win a championship. Like, it was progressing. Like, right. The Knicks
There's
need
no short term here.
Like you got to put out, this is how the NBA works. And this is why I get mad at fans for trades and whatnot too. But, like,
You have to put a good product out somewhat consistently to draw fans in. That's why even when we were getting annoyed during the Melo era, when they underachieved some of those years, I mean, 37 wins, and we were pissed, right? But, like, that's okay, because we're like, all right, well, you know what? They could, maybe they'll figure this thing out. They have Melo. They just missed the playoffs. Maybe they just got to reshuffle the deck. You come back in for another year. There's only so many years you could do, well, you know, Kevin Knox looks awful. All right, well, he did it again. All right, well, Frank Ntilikina still looks not great. All right, well, he did it again year, you know, year after year. All right, well, Dennis Smith Jr. is a panning out, and we just traded Kristaps for him. All right, like, there's only so many, like, dramatic fall-offs we can do before it's like, and you guys see it, Mike, you see it when you tweet the games, right? We're tweeting about Julius Randle or Elfrid Payton, and what do we get? Nobody cares.
LOL.
Nobody cares. Why are you tweeting this? We don't want clips of Reggie Bullock. We don't want clips of Elfrid Payton. And it's like, that's what we get.
I get it.
We have 20, 23, 24,000 followers. That's what we get. So imagine like being the actual, like, you don't hear that, bro. Like, you don't want to go out and just not hear from us. Just put out a semi-respectable product just to not hear from us. Like, that's what needs to happen here. That's the big, big issue that they don't ever get to. Like, you could do all the other things, but those are extras. And those are fun when we're winning, but we can't have those without the winning.
Yeah, and remember how exciting it was when, even before Melo, when Amari first got here, that was a pretty, like, not mediocre, but it wasn't a splashy move. Yet they played well together, and that was a really fun time. Why can't we do that again? It's like fans just want to do either top of the lottery or NBA championship. That's just not possible. And that's why you said Masai. That's why the Rose era is now going to be contingent on who he brings in. If he brings in a guy who knows his shit and builds smart, this is a home run. But until then, I just can't see it. Like, I just see a continuous loop of us just being bad.
Yep. Well, there it is. That's the betonline.ag bet on yourself segment of the week. Use the promo code BLUEWIRE, all one word, for 50% off your welcome bonus. For your 50% welcome bonus at betonline.ag. While we have you here, we're going to talk to you all about our friends over at Untuckit. Have you ever seen the untucked button down? They don't look very good. And why? Because they were not meant to be worn that way. Thankfully, there is Untuckit, the original button-down shirt that's actually designed to be worn untucked. They have more than 50 fit combinations, and they look really great on tall, short, slim, athletic guys, whatever kind of build you got. It really fits your frame. It kind of just sits there nice, not too snug, not too tight, just naturally. And you know, they're never going to look too baggy. They're never going to look bulgy. They're not going to look long, too big. Again, fitted, nice, and their website is easy to use. They even have a whole page devoted to helping you find your fit. So whether you're shopping for the perfect gift or just trying to craft a smart, relaxed style of your own, Untuckit is the way to go. Visit untuckit.com and use code BLUE for 20% off at checkout. That's UNTUCK. it.com and promo code BLUE for 20% off. All right. So last time we spoke to everybody, it was the day before the trade deadline. We didn't know it was going to go down, but we were pretty sure Marcus Morris was going to be seeing a change of scenery. That obviously happened. He was moved to the Clippers, and they sent back over a 2021 first rounder, as well as a 2021 second round pick from Detroit. Or I'm sorry, they sent back a 2020 first round pick and a swap to their rights with the 2021 first rounder, as well as that Detroit 2021 second round pick, which is going to be a pretty solid second for sure. The Wizards were involved with the trade too. We got Yusuf Sanon from them, a Euro stash player right now. We'll see if he ends up becoming anything, but we moved on from Marcus Morris. He was the Knicks' leading scorer. He was shooting over 45% from three. He was averaging almost 20 points a game. It's the absence is going to be felt by him, but do we have any disagreements here that this was the right move?
Not at all.
Yeah, I think we were I mean, for a couple of months now and a couple of weeks, we've been pining for Marcus Morris to be on it, shipped out somewhere, first round pick, and And yeah, we got that pick. We got exactly what they were, what we were asking for. Yeah, we imagined it'd probably be somewhere around the teens or the 20s. I think we were kind of hoping we could get a pick that was approaching the lottery somewhere, but yeah, we'll see where this Clippers pick ends up being. And then the Detroit pick next year should be decent, considering Detroit's now moving on from Andre Drummond, and they have some work to do till they're rebuilding. But I thought Marcus Morris had a really solid first, you know, half a season with the Knicks. I thought that he really kind of was able to guide this team through some, and at least get them a couple of wins in some of these rough stretches. And yeah, Maurice Harkless comes back to the Knicks as well. And it's, I think that it's going to be really interesting to see who's going to be taking the shots for this team for the rest of the season.
Did you guys have any problem? I mean, no one had a problem with the Marcus Morris trade, right? Like, reasonable people, because I saw some idiots online. Like,
no, I think that was
reasonable people.
That's like, misdirected anger, because I was very angry after the deadline, and that's just because the Morris deal was the only deal. But
correct.
The deal itself,
right? That's a bigger point.
Yeah, what from the deal, from the Morris deal itself? What could you like, possibly?
People were mad. People were mad. We either didn't get. This is from what I saw. This didn't. Not the majority, I would say, but there was a loud contingent of fans who were like, well, we couldn't get a lottery pick. Well, no, because it's Marcus Morris on an expiring contract, you buffoon. Like, relax.
Playoff team. How are you
going to... Second thing, they're like, well, you know, we could have gotten a second pick. You buffoons. We got a second round pick in the trade also. Which is essentially a first. We were never getting two first round picks. So again, what were you thinking? Like, who did you think we had here? Like, I feel like nobody understands how trades work. Like, the whole point of Marcus Morris was we knew it was 1 year he was leaving, because let's make no mistake about it, aside from the, oh, you know, he said he wanted to be here, just like everyone says they want to be here until they walk in the summer and then we never hear from them again. So let's cut to the chase, right? So, yeah, so the whole point was you got a year of him. We all like Marcus Morris. In a perfect world, we'd all sign him for a few years on a good team. He'd be fun for a contender, especially for a contending Knicks team. We all know, okay, it's not a perfect world, though. It's this world. We signed him for a one-year deal. He has a career year. We never get lucky like that, where we sign a guy and he has a career year. The only thing at that point you should go is, okay, we're counting our blessings. We're selling off to the highest bidder. Don't even care what it is. Clippers, you want to give us a meaningless pick swap in there for 2021? Have at it. Throw it in. We don't care.
All right, that was just like, why'd you report that?
That was hilarious. That was top three protected pick for no reason. But everything else, I was like, yeah, I mean, when we got this, I was fine with the first round pick. When I saw we got the second, I was like, wow, we made out.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's all I wanted. And yes, I'm mad about the other, like, other vets should have been gone. Other vets, I mean, we know who they are. I mean, Alfred Payton, Bobby Portis
specifically,
are higher on the list.
Because they said Portis had interest. Where the hell did that interest go?
Yeah, but his contract is so big, though. Where are you going to move him to?
Yeah, only 1 year. Yeah, but it's only 1 year.
Yeah, but you still got to pay him the $1 million for next year. I think we're
pennies.
Well, yeah, that's pennies, but it still makes it a little bit more difficult to navigate, like, even buyouts for him or something like that, you know, like, it's really frustrating that he's still around. It's his contract might have just been a little bit too big to the point where they kind of knocked themselves out of some flexibility with moving him, I think. But yeah.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Shocking. Hey, but at least we have flexibility for 2020. You know, all these free agents are going to sign.
Yeah, I'm just shocked.
We didn't take on any money.
I'm truly shocked that Elfrid Payton stuck around. Because it seemed like
Yeah, me too. He's actually been good.
Yeah, no. And he, like, all of a sudden he's like, all right, I'm here. I guess I'll start playing again. Because he just looked eternally frustrated out there.
He's very loyal to Scott Perry. So maybe Perry returned the loyalty by not wanting to trade him unless it was to, like, the perfect situation.
Now, I will say this might be very unpopular, and I wanted to ask you guys this. Of all the vets that we did not trade, is there anybody you'd actually want next year? And I have my answer, and it's going to shock you guys, I bet, but I want to know what your answer is.
Julius Randle included?
One guy. I'm under the assumption that Julius Randle's going to be here.
Oh, okay, the one-year guys. Wow. I guess Taj, like, I don't mind Taj being there. I like him. Like, as long as he's not playing in front of Mitch next year, that'll be my
pick. Yeah, that's the big problem, because I would go with Taj as well. But, like, that's if he's going to keep on. I mean, it's not really a Taj Gibson issue. It's more of a you know, a coaching or a Mitchell Robinson issue, whatever, you know, whatever you want to look at. But yeah, that dude needs to be starting rather than the, you know, 30, however old Taj Gibson is at this point.
Okay. That's actually a pretty good, pretty fair answer.
Maybe Reggie.
Reggie's not bad. Also.
Okay.
So Reggie would make sense on nearly any roster. Yeah. I think Reggie's, he's been a pleasant surprise. I wouldn't mind Reggie back. And this is me operating under the assumption that we're either drafting what we think, and I'm wording this carefully, is a franchise point guard, or going to get one this summer, because I would imagine that they understand that Dennis Smith Jr. and Frank Ntilikina, and this is even me saying it, are not going to be the guards of the future, right? So I don't think you can confidently say bringing in Elfrid Payton as a starter for a sixth year is that either. Like, that's not going to woo fans. So I would imagine somehow they're going to try to get a point guard. I don't know who. But in the event that they get someone who's, like, just even passable, I would enjoy an Elfrid Payton being our bench point guard. I would enjoy having him back. I'm going to say it. I wasn't fond of the signing because I thought, well, you have a zillion guard prospects you should probably be trying to give minutes to and see what you got with them first. But he does have stretches where he looks really good, and it makes me wonder if all this time that he's been kind of force-fed starter minutes, if he's really just a very impactful, like, sixth, seventh man, first point guard off the bench kind of guy. And I thought, well, not for nothing, but, like, if we can at least get somebody else, I'd actually like to have Elfrid back, because, you know, I don't feel confident in Frank running an offense, right? I don't. I'm sorry. It's too inconsistent. It's fun when it's there, but it's too inconsistent. I don't think RJ's there yet, you know, with trying to be an initiator at the NBA level. And Dennis is just lost half the time at this point, or I don't know what his problem is, but you got to get a guard. And in a perfect world, I think Elfrid's actually a really nice backup. I think he's been miscast a little bit, but if we got him for, like, that role, I'd be in.
Yeah, I think aside from Reggie, he's probably the best veteran we have left, not including Randall, obviously, out of, like, the guys we signed for 1 year. My problem is, I know he came here wanting to start. He's probably going to want to do that again. And if we do draft a point guard, he's probably going to start again next year. I agree with Frank. I don't think he's going to be the point guard of the future. I do like him at the two, or even off the bench as a two. I know people want to force him to be the point guard of the future. Him being a smart, good basketball player does not mean he has to be the franchise savior. I think people keep going with extremes, and especially with Frank. But yeah, Dennis has to go. But yeah, back to Payton. I think Payton just wants to start. That's the only reservation I would have with that.
Well, let's take a... I feel like I would probably enjoy having Elfrid Payton back next year, but it's like... Yeah, he has been one of the only capable. He's looked. There's been a couple of iffy stretches, but he's been one of the few consistent players who's been out there and, like, able to actually hit his shots and, like you say, like, kind of run an offense. Like, definitely not starter level for what my money's going for, but definitely a capable backup. But maybe that factors in here. But let's take a look at what you guys are thinking. The Knicks. So the All-Star break is coming up now. And they're playing against the Wizards right now. I'm not sure what that score is looking like at the moment, but
they're down three.
They're down three right now. But we're not going to have another game until late next week. I think next Friday is the next game after this one. All-Star break comes up. Guys are going to get recharged a little bit. You know, new chances to think about things a little bit differently. Probably get the Rose hire announced at some point in there. My question is, where does this team go for the rest of the year then? What does Mike Miller need to focus on specifically? What do the players need to focus on specifically? Like, if we're talking about guys who are going to be sticking around next year and what the, you know, helping to get ready for next season, like, what does this team's priority need to be?
I feel like development, but that's not going to happen.
Well, are there any combinations of players that we should be seeing play together? Are there... You know, should Mitchell Robinson maybe be starting at center?
Absolutely. The fact he's not starting now is just, there's no excuse for it. I mean, the 4-game winning streak, cool. that still shouldn't stop you from starting your best young player. He is the best young player on the roster, and he's barely getting minutes. I think he's still below 30 minutes per game by a considerable margin since God knows when. It's inexcusable. So that, and just being good. They just play well. Find out who works. They started playing Dennis with Frank finally. I want to see a little Frank, RJ, and Dotson, but since RJ's came back, Dotson's vanished as expected. So I just want to see those kind of combinations. Knox, maybe go to the G League for a little bit and then come back up when you're ready to be a man. But
I tweeted this the other day. I almost feel bad with the Kevin Knox stuff. And then, like, it's just so bad, man. Like, and I feel like he knows it. That's why I'm not trying to be rude anymore. But it's like, you gotta do better. Like, you gotta find one thing, bro. Like, I was at the game. I was working the Magic game last week. And, I mean, just like, clueless defensively. Like, not even paying. He's getting... The guy's already at the rim on a backdoor cut before he even turns around. Like, I mean, and this, I'm going to find, and everybody thinks I'm making it up. I'm actually going to find the clip. Like, it was embarrassing. Like you can't do that stuff. And it just frustrates me, man. Like, just one thing, like, at least for the Frank fans, like, you could always harken back to, like, well, he has one elite NBA skill. He plays defense. Like, not, what is Knox? He's 20. Like that's it? Like what happened to us evaluating players for like what they were, not just, well, he's 20, give him time. Like, at some point, well, we gotta talk about, I mean, it, guys.
That's what we're talking about, the inconsistency of the rebuild, though. You know,
it gets me angry and sad. The
organization of basketball. Everyone thinks since they play 2K and he progresses to a 90 in year three, that's how it is in real life. And for me, I remember when I went to the Raptors game, Nick Nurse said something that stuck with me, especially in regards to Knox. He says, if they're not getting consistent minutes, send them to the G League. And it's not a demotion the way we think it is. It's not like in baseball where, like, if you stink, you go to the minors because you stink. And at basketball, only five guys can play. So getting Knox those reps can be a big thing. Look at Iggy. Iggy's killing it in Westchester. If Knox gets a couple like 30 or 40 point games, maybe he starts to figure out, hey, I'm actually pretty good, because he is still, he has great size. He could shoot. I just think he's missing aggression and a go-to move before he becomes competent, and going down against lower competition could just be the thing to awaken him.
Has he ever been demoted?
No, no one has. No one has. That's the problem.
Bizarre. Use the G League. For a team that's this early into
a G League, they came up for Burke. Like, that's the only thing that's coming
from the G League. It's, we've only ever used the G League as a farm system to come up to the team. We've never used it to get prospects in and then send them down there to develop. Like, not once. Like, it's extraordinary.
Not even Hernan Gomez. Like, remember Hernan Gomez?
Yeah.
We didn't want to send him down. Like, are you kidding me?
Billy Hernan Gomez feels like a decade ago.
Oh, what bothers me is that they've used, like, they did the model correctly once, and we were actually praising them for it. That's what bothers me. They were sending, Damian Dotson. That's right. With Burke, too. Well, Dotson, remember, Dotson would go down regularly his rookie season. He would go down to get run. He did this. He would do this the day before a game. Then he'd come up some days the same day. He'd suit up for a game after playing an earlier game with Westchester. Like, young players need reps. It's not an embarrassment. It's not a demotion. It is simply a tool to help young, raw, underdeveloped players get those reps in and grow. Like, that's the way that we need to look at the G League. And the Knicks have done it in the past. That's why it's more frustrating. You did it with Dotson. You did it with a young player who wasn't getting minutes at the NBA level, who needed them. You got him those minutes and then worked to get him them in the NBA as well. That is what a Kevin Knox needs. That's what a Frank Ntilikina needs.
It's the first round picks that they're not doing it with.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. They don't value it. Like, Dotson, they didn't value. That's why they decided they would do that. We still see that with Dotson, where his minutes are always up and down. We don't know what's going to, where his role is. Like, you know, and he's been probably the most consistent of those younger players. But yeah, and none of the guys do it. Like, you know, I can maybe see the case for wanting to keep RJ up. But like with Knox, with Ntilikina, like even with Dennis Smith to a degree, like you got to be sending these guys down there.
Oh, Dennis Smith 100% should be in that crowd. Frank is above average in defense, so at least you can say, all right, he belongs
here. Last 2 years, but he should have been for sure, though.
Yeah, 100%. But this year I'm talking about. And that Nurse quote about getting guys reps, he was talking about Siakam.
Yeah.
And people forget Siakam was essentially a no-show for 2016-2017 season. And then he boomed once Kawhi got there, but it wasn't just because of Kawhi. It's because they put in the work for the first 2 years where he went down to whoever their G League affiliate is. I don't know what it is, but he went down there. He only played
Raptors 55
games as a rookie. Right. Thank you. So, yeah, he played there, and he's now look at him. He's a star.
But even there's not even a stigma towards sending – there may be a stigma. I overspoke. But there shouldn't be a stigma,
I think.
Or for teams in general, I'm talking, because remember when Tim Hardaway Jr. was a first round pick and he played for us for a few years at the tail end of the Melo JR era, right? And then he went to Atlanta. And Atlanta was like, hey, man, you're useful, but you actually need some G League time. And then he came back up and was a much better player. And even though he underperformed with us a little bit, even though that was, I think, largely due to him being miscast and playing on half a foot, he's clearly an improved player from that time. Like it's very, shocking. Very obvious. He came and it was a good Atlanta team. He came back to and made an impact with as a minor role player. But again, it's, there shouldn't be an issue. That was a first round pick. Tim Hardaway Jr. was which pick was he? He was
late or right after
20s. Yeah. The 20s.
Right. Okay. So right about there, but he was still like that. That's a first round pick. That's not like pick 30. You know what I mean? Like, and they sent him down and gave him good run. And he like, it just bothers me. It makes too much sense, and they don't want to do it because why? To admit that maybe the player they picked isn't
I really hope they start following this to move forward, because like, you know, you're gonna have another pick around that point with the Clippers pick this year. You're gonna have a good first round pick from this year. You know, even if it's a weaker class, so like you're gonna have a player that you're gonna want to develop, and you know. I'm just hoping with some new direction, some new management, everything like that going on, we'll actually start utilizing this system. Even especially if they keep Mike Miller involved in some capacity, which they absolutely, I think, should keep him involved with the team. But even if he's like, you know, more of, if he's an assistant coach that's kind of more handling that transition with guys between the G League and the NBA, you know, coming up from Westchester to New York, like that would be. Like that would be such an ideal role and a great asset to have on your team to be able to build that kind of, you know, build that kind of idea about the G League, build that kind of like understanding around it, that this is the place that you're going to go to get these reps when you can't get them on the court right now.
Yeah, I think the lack of use for the first round picks in the G League, it's just the core. It's just a piece of the bigger problem going on with this team. Yeah, where it's they never want to get into a PR mess. But they always end up in one anyway, but they do everything they can to stay away from that. It's like the 40-year-old virgin. He does everything he can to avoid women. He runs into them.
Same type instead of being forward thinking, they're too afraid to do anything.
Yeah. Right. Because they just want to stay good in the PR thing. Like the whole Stout hiring, everything is just about PR. And you're not
going to. It's PR initially. Yeah. Like they only understand PR for like flashy hire, press release, press conference, and then they have no semblance of PR beyond that.
Yeah.
Then it's like for me, like it's everything. It's not just what you put out in a press release or in a press conference. PR is your public image at all times. Like that's it, if you're front facing like them, like that's it's always that. Like you're always putting on for your fans every day. The Knicks are playing. You should be on and trying to impress us and win us over. Like I don't get how they can. They very clear. I know for a fact they very clearly hear us and fans, and you know they should know better. They should know better is the point. I know they hear and read and listen to things. I know this, and they should be better at picking up on things like this. Like stop worrying about like just whatever. I don't even know where it gets complicated. It's just like just do the obvious thing. That's always what we ask them. Like that's why we were happy for the Marcus Morris trade. They did the obvious thing. Guy breaks out, has a career year. You sold high on him. You got multiple picks. Great job, Knicks. I mean, you didn't sell off on anybody else, but that one specific trade, good job. That's all we wanted. It's a low bar to clear. There's so many layups that they don't do late.
Oh, and kudos before Scott Perry's probably gone in the summer, but kudos to him. I think he handled the Morris trade perfect. He set a price with the Lakers that Kuzma had to be included, and that kind of forced the Clippers to at least include that first-round pick. So, Scott Perry, if you're out, masterclass with that.
Yeah, we see him for that.
We'll always give credit when it's due. Like, just do good things. It's not a wild concept. We don't hate the team. Do good things, make good moves, progress and we will compliment you. You do bad things and make bad moves, the team gets worse. Right. There's nothing we can say. We can't make that.
We can't make that good
analyzing the situation. Yeah, all we can do is well, this sucks, as you guys know, because you've listened to this podcast for 5 years.
All of you.
When it's been good, it's been good. But like, you know, like we have no problem getting excited when RJ's playing well. Haven't I gone on the pod and been like, man, things are great. I love how RJ's playing. I can't wait to be positive about this team, and it kills me because I can't.
And kudos to all of you for sticking with us and listening to us go on and on and on. We know this has been not an easy year on you know, just about all of us, but there is a bright future ahead of us somewhere. We're hoping so, at least. And until then, I think we're going to wrap it up here. So, make sure you're following all of us at The Knicks Wall, at TKW Podcast, at Corbo Anthony, at Kyle Maggio, at Cortez Era. Thanks again to our sponsors, Untuck It and BetOnline.ag. Head over to TheKnicksWall.com. Check out all of the fantastic content we've got up there. And any last plugs, Mike? You got anything coming out you want to drop?
Next week I'm gonna sort through what happened over the last year and see if it was bad luck or just poor management, I guess.
Yeah,
so it's just looking over the last year's moves and seeing how much was in the Knicks' control and how much was just shit luck.
Yeah, there's gonna be a lot to cipher through there, I'm sure. But all right, we'll keep an eye lookout for that piece, and until then, we'll talk to you guys sometime next week, I think. Yeah, we'll see before or after the All-Star break, but we'll see you all soon.